First thing it says, God's reputation. That's the title that I decided for this sermon. I was never one much for titles, but sometimes the title tells a lot of what the point of something is. Today we have the gospel story about this parable, about this unrighteous, probably a very unlikable judge. And a story about this very persistent, probably after a while, a little nasty widow. She's desperate. You have this widow who needs some legal help. She's got some problem, as Jesus tells the story. He doesn't go and divulge the story. He just says she has this problem. She's got an adversary who's preventing her from having what she needs, the justice that she deserves. So she goes and she's trying to get this judge to help her out, and this judge is described as an unrighteous judge. He doesn't care about God at all. He doesn't really care about people. And so he sort of kind of just blows her off. But she keeps coming at him time after time after time, day after day after day. And then the judge says, "Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down." Now, that's a nice way of saying she isn't going to give me a black eye. That's what the Greek says. And when you get a black eye, what happens? Everybody knows that something bad happened to you. It's sort of like your reputation is being tarnished too. This guy is worried about his reputation. And what the man does is he finally gives this lady the justice that was due her. Now, it's often been said that this is a parable about praying persistently. That's what we should do because we hear this parable. Now, praying persistently is nothing wrong with that, and that's a good thing to bring from this particular parable. But we have to remember that if that's what Jesus is telling us here, that we are to pray persistently, then Jesus has basically just given us another law to live by. And Jesus didn't come to give us laws. He came to live that law for you and for me. So what's going on here? Well, remember, what is the scripture all about? Jesus tells us, scriptures are about him. We are to look into the scriptures and find out about him and what he's all about and what he's doing for us. This parable is more about Jesus than about us. Now, if I were to ask you what is one of the most important things that you have in your personal characteristic baggage, most people say it's my reputation. That's what we want to have that is good, that we can carry with us from day to day throughout our life. We want a good reputation, a reputation that people can be looking up at you as somebody I can trust. I know when I say something that they'll carry it out. They have a reputation of being a good person, a wonderful person, a nice person, somebody who will help out when everybody else seems to walk away. That's what we want in life, a good reputation. And we know that because if you work in a business, or like I do in the hospitals, you're always going to have some sort of a survey sent to your house now, right? Because they're looking for you to give them a good reputation. That's what matters today. It's no different than it was 2,000 years ago. We want that good reputation. We want to know that you can be trusted. We want to know that this business, this person, is someone I can go to and be certain that what they say will happen. What they promise will take place. Now, the parable of this unrighteous judge is really more about the character of God, because we're talking about a reputation. God has a reputation too. He never thought about it that way, but he does. And what's his basic reputation? reputation is that he is a merciful and compassionate God. Everybody knows that, or at least they think like that, and they say it. Whether they actually believe it is another thing. And we know that God doesn't want his reputation tarnished either. And Jesus is saying in this particular parable that if that unrighteous judge who doesn't fear God or doesn't care about men is worried about his reputation, how much more is the almighty, holy, and righteous God going to care about his reputation? Jesus is telling his disciples and us that the reputation of God is at stake. Now, why is it at stake, though? That's the question. Why is Jesus even concerned about this at the moment? Well, the one thing about the Bible is you always have to go and find the context of where something is sitting. This parable is spoken to the people of, to the Jewish people, to the disciples, and to us, right after Jesus is talking about the end of the world. And what does he say just prior to this parable? He says this, "Just as in the days of Noah," keep that in mind, "so also will be the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything." All of a sudden, the disciples are wondering, what's going to happen to us? He's coming to destroy it all. The end of the age is coming, Jesus has just told them. And it's just as certain as the events of Noah and Lot. God's wrath is going to be poured out onto this world. Just like the flood in the cities of Sodom, God's going to boil over with his wrath and destroy it all. But what about his reputation? What about God being a merciful and compassionate God? Is it not true that the Lord claims to be this way? And when the end comes, is it to be all things will be destroyed? What about his people? He promises to be merciful and compassionate. Will they be preserved? Jesus told this parable so that these disciples would pray and not lose heart. God will remain true to his reputation, and he won't let it be tarnished. God is going to vindicate those who believe and trust in him. That's his promise. He's going to save his people, just as he saved Noah, just as he saved Lot. And the rest were destroyed, but he kept his promise about them. But when is this going to happen, they're wondering. Jesus says it's going to happen quickly. Now their eyes probably opened wide. But you see, it was promised first, and that promise of vindication was first kept in Jesus. Because again, where's Jesus at this point? He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's going to suffer and die. He has been suffering and looking for justice, you might say, just like that widow was throughout his life. He's been carrying the burdens of sin and unbelief for all people. He has been carrying around and dealing with sinners like those Pharisees who don't believe in him, like his own disciples who doubt him at times, and like the priests who hate him and are conspiring to kill him, and the cruelty of those soldiers who are mocking him and crucifying him. And then we can't forget that it's our own sins we pile on top of him too. He's suffering under all of this, and he's looking for justice. He's the one holy Son of God, and he's looking for justice. And he's crying out to his Father, persistently, continually praying to his Father, looking forward to the day when he would be vindicated. And that's exactly what happened. When Jesus was crucified, it looked to all the world that Jesus had been abandoned by God. that he was probably a false Messiah, because look, he's crucified on a tree where the Bible says anyone who hangs on a tree is condemned and by God himself. He wasn't telling the truth about God. Look, he's dead. He's hanging on the cross. He can't be who he says he is. And it certainly doesn't appear that God is very compassionate and merciful to even the one who claims to be his own son. But God's reputation is on the line now. The vindication of God's beloved son, Jesus, will come. It comes 3 days later, after that cruel and shameful death. Jesus was abandoned by God as he hung, suffering and dying on the cross, because Jesus became sin for you and for me. But Jesus was persistent in prayer, saying, "Into your hands I commend myself." He never wavered in his faith towards his God, towards his heavenly Father. And God did not abandon his faithful son, Jesus. Jesus was vindicated. He is shown to be the truth sent from God. Jesus is the one who is right when he said all the things that he said and did. Jesus is God, just as he claimed. And Jesus is vindicated, and the Father's reputation is now intact. He is a merciful and compassionate God. He saves his people. His people is Jesus, his son, who came into this world to suffer and die on our behalf. Now, we are called to continue to pray. We're to keep praying, just like that widow in the parable. But what's important to remember, it isn't the praying that really is the prime problem or the prime concern here. Because we all have our own trials and our own sufferings that we go through. We have our own problems, in a way, just like Jesus. We continue to pray persistently, though, because it's the faithfulness of God, his reputation that we understand and know and look to and trust in. It's him that we realize we have faith, and our goal is to be in his hands, putting ourselves there, because he's the one who will keep his reputation intact. Jesus will come back, as in the days of Noah and Lot, to destroy evil. But Jesus is also returning to vindicate his people. You who trust and believe, who look to him, who pray to him persistently, knowing that we are sinners, but yet trusting that by his death and resurrection, our sins have been forgiven. And because our sins have been forgiven, we are his people now. And he promises to be merciful and compassionate to his people who look to him and trust in him. You and I have our enemies and our opponents who seek to defeat us. Your enemies and opponents are your own sinful nature. They are our own greed, our own self-centeredness, our lack of hearing and obeying God as Lord and Savior. We have the opponent of Satan, who's out to still accuse us of our own sinfulness, who tries to tempt us into doing anything in contrary to God's word. And then there's death that's right around the corner, waiting to pull us into the grave and never let us go. So Jesus is calling on us to pray that we would be vindicated, that we would get justice over our adversaries, our enemies. And he promises he will do that. The Lord's reputation is that he is a compassionate and merciful God. And we know that Jesus has every right to punish us over our sin, but yet he puts us up with us. He's long-suffering, and he takes our punishment onto himself. He takes our sins onto himself. And now by that graceful, wonderful gift that Jesus does for us, we are his people. And God will be true to himself, and he will vindicate his people, his faithful saints, who pray to him because he is merciful and compassionate. Jesus ended this by saying, "When the Son of Man comes, will he even find faith in the earth?" Well, If you've given up trusting in the reputation of the Father, not certain of the faithfulness of God and not trusting in his promises, then I guess there will be no faith on this earth. But continue to pray. Pray these words. Let your kingdom come. We want Jesus to come into our life through his word and sacraments. And forgive us our sins, because we know God is merciful and compassionate, and he does forgive sins, because we are looking forward to the return of our Lord Jesus. God will vindicate his elect. He did it for his Son. He'll do it for his people, you and me, because we cry out to him, because he is merciful and compassionate. His reputation is at stake. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.